Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and we start with a couple of headlines that you need to know. The NCAA will vote today on if spring sport athletes should get an extra year of eligibility. So we will get some indication today from the NCAA. You'll hear a lot from First Take on that throughout the course of the day. And we have a definitive date for the beginning of the Tokyo Olympics. We now know that they've obviously been postponed. The opening ceremony will be rescheduled for July 23rd, 2021. So the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, the Tokyo Olympics will actually get started July 23rd, 2021. You can book that ticket now and get ready for it. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN News. We just mentioned the NCAA is going to take a vote today on whether or not an extra year of eligibility should be given to spring sport athletes as a result of the pandemic. I want your thoughts on that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you had a vote, how would you vote and why should you give players an extra year of eligibility? But we're going to start today with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk has the full court cell phone coverage. You need to get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. And the Straight Talk comes in the form of Cam Newton. Look, Cam is still out on the open market, doesn't have an offer yet. We don't know where he's going to end up. We've debated it on this show. We've talked about it. I've gotten your take on it in the past. Where should Cam Newton head? I've told you where I think he needs to go. Well, Mike Greenberg today joined Max and Stephen A. to give their thoughts and debates on Cam Newton and where he would be the best fit.
The Los Angeles Chargers, I think, need him. They lost Phillip Rivers, but I also think that you have to take into consideration the fact that when we look at the Los Angeles Chargers, recognizing the fact that Phillip Rivers can throw the football, even though he threw in 20 interceptions last year, he got no protection whatsoever. And it was one of those situations where he was under constant pressure, and as a result, because he's lost some velocity on his throws, he's aged, attrition has kicked in to some degree. He still threw for over 4,000 yards, about 4,600 yards, still threw about 23 touchdowns, but those 20 interceptions were not bad. In the end, though, the real impediment to their success was Phillip Rivers' inability to run with the football. He was no mobile threat at all. You didn't have to worry about him scrambling one bit. Obviously, that would be vastly different with Cam Newton as your quarterback. Cam Newton, as Max likes to point out, you know, before he had gotten hurt a season and a half ago or so, he was completing like 67% of his passes, which was the best of his career, albeit under the stewardship of North Turner, the former head coach in Sandy with the San Diego Chargers, who was the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers in 2018 and 2019, rather. The bottom line is this. If Cam Newton were to end up in with the Chargers, with Anthony Lynn as your coach, with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry and those boys, you know, with his ability to move with the football, meaning with his legs, I think that would be a significant upgrade compared to what they had with the immobile Phillip Rivers right now. And I definitely think it's something that they should do.
Well, I think the Chargers are obviously make a lot of sense from different points of view. But there were two teams I thought of before the Chargers. Last week, I was telling you Denver or Washington. I settled on Washington. Ron Rivera could put the band back together. Washington fans would easily trade their fortunes over the last many years for the fortunes of, say, the Carolina Panthers. Same head coach, same quarterback, same backup quarterback. But Ron Rivera has since come out and said they're, you know, Dwayne Haskins is the guy. If that's true, then I'm still on Denver, Stephen A. You look at John Elway. John Elway was a quarterback with amazing physical tools who didn't always put up the same kind of numbers that some of the other quarterbacks did. When you look at the all-time great quarterbacks, a lot of people have Elway in the top five. It's not because of the passing accuracy. He was just a physical phenomenon who could lead his team to a lot of wins and ultimately Super Bowls finally when he got a running back. So he would have a guy running the show who gets that, because that's really what Cam Newton is, a version of that kind of quarterback. But more than that, look, they think Drew Lock is their guy. At least they're saying so, much like Washington saying about Haskins. And Drew Lock went 4-1 to close the season. But the league started catching up to him toward the end of the season. The yards per attempt went down, all that kind of stuff. So then you look, is there precedent for a quarterback, a young quarterback who's winning a lot, to be replaced by a veteran quarterback who's gotten to the ultimate stage? And yeah, in Denver there is. Tim Tebow to Peyton Manning. I'm not saying Cam Newton's Peyton Manning, But Cam Newton was considered the best player in football not all that long ago, and he had regained much of that form, as you mentioned, Stephen A., before he got hurt. So does he make sense in Denver? Whether it's to compete for the job, back up a young kid, take the job as a starter, and the young kid's the understudy, the answer is yes. Also keep in mind that Denver had a free agent haul in the offseason. They traded for A.J. Bouye for right before the free agency period started. They have addressed concerns they've had in different areas of the team, and they look poised otherwise to do something, but to make a little run, especially the way they closed the season. If you're not sold on Drew Lock, and I'm not sure that they are, Cam Newton makes a lot of sense, even if only for insurance.
Guys, I think we're forgetting the most obvious one. Now, first and foremost, Cam Newton, if indeed he is healthy, is better than the starting quarterback on at least half the teams in the NFL. The team that doesn't have a starting quarterback essentially is Jacksonville, but they're not going to sign him because they are blatantly tanking for Trevor. So let's then go to the really intriguing one. As we speak, the quarterback room in New England consists of Brian Hoyer, Cody Kessler, and Jarrett Stidham. Stidham has thrown four passes in his life, and the other two are journeymen. And with all due respect to them, that's all that they are. If the New England Patriots are entertaining thoughts of accomplishing anything of consequence this season, I strongly doubt that that is the quarterback room they're anticipating. Now, you hear little whispers about them possibly trying to get Matt Stafford. Maybe they try and make a really dramatic move in the draft. I'm interested to see what they do, but I can't imagine they're going to stand pat with what they have. And to give Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, the opportunity to try and play with the weapon that Cam Newton has the potential to be if he is healthy is a very intriguing one. So if New England decides that he's a worthwhile roll of the dice, that, to me, would be by far the most interesting possibility that's out there for Cam.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with us on the show. Penzo Performance on. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think the Chargers make the most sense just from a brand standpoint. But what we don't know is where the Chargers are in Justin Herbert, right? Because there is a real chance that he could fall to them in the draft. And if they believe that Justin Herbert is the future they should bank their franchise on, then more power to them. In the meantime, we're asking you guys, should players get another year of eligibility because of the coronavirus pandemic? This is the vote that the NCAA is going to be putting out there today. I've asked you guys on Twitter, and let me explain a few things here, because I'm seeing a lot of people come back, and you know, Memphis Jackie says, okay, so the freshman coming in who is taking the leaving senior scholarship is thrown to the curb, has to pay his tuition instead of getting a full ride. Sounds like the 22, 23-year-old man needs to go get a job with the degree they just got, let the young kids create their path. We're seeing a lot of that. Here's the part of it I think we have to accept and acknowledge through it. If they're going to give it an extra year of eligibility, they're likely going to have to do something with the scholarship count. And, you know, it's as simple in my mind as saying, okay, if we're offering a level of extra year of eligibility, then each of the players that gets that extra year in their extra year won't count against the scholarship cap. So you can still let you're basically going to balloon rosters for the next few years because it's at least the right thing to do. I mean, to me, this is all about trying to figure out what actually benefits the kids that were there that lost their opportunity to compete through no fault of their own. So that's what I'm trying to figure out a way to do. Now, again, it's not an easy solution, but, you know, at some point you have to look at it and say they've got to figure out the right thing to do for everybody. And that's the hardest part of it. Jake says on Twitter, yes, this was for some why they are in college in the first place. They should get the option. They can always say no. That's another important part of it. Just because you offer it to everybody doesn't mean they have to take it. But realistically, Cousin Eddie says no. If they have a red shirt year still available, they can use it or play according to postgraduate rules. Need to consider impact for incoming committed athletes. That's why I think part of this has to be bloat the scholarship numbers on a scale where a person who takes this extra year doesn't count against that scholarship. So you're not actually adding more scholarships. That would be confusing. You're simply saying, hey, anybody that uses an extra year doesn't count against the scholarship numbers. Tristan in Pittsburgh, what's your take? What would you do if you were voting with the NCAA today?
Well, honestly, if I'm the NCAA, if I want to keep my current rule structure in place, which is essentially the idea of not giving college athletes anything more or less than you are giving a normal student that is going to school, it just won't work under the current structure. Because let's say, for example, you have a student that has a scholarship, like a partial scholarship or whatever, are you giving them an extra year of scholarship to come back to school? And you're essentially giving them an extra year where you wouldn't be able to give that to a normal student. You're not going to end up having normal students coming back and getting extra years of their scholarship back on, unless the university is going to do that and they're allowed to do that. But I feel it becomes very, very complicated.
Tristan, stick with me for a second, though. I'll push back against the concept of the NCAA is giving them the same option that they give every student. As I've said a million times before, I was offered, you know, to major schools, I was offered a full violin performance scholarship. Yes, they exist. But when I had my violin performance scholarship, I was still allowed to work. So, you know, they'll let a violin kid or a trumpet kid at Indiana, for example, have a free education, but still have a job. So they're already not holding athletes to the same standard. They've never pretended to. So this is about giving an athlete the opportunity to continue to compete. So since they're already held to a different standard, why would this be any different?
So let me think about it this way, though. Let's say you have a student that has already graduated, for example, and you're going to add an extra year of eligibility onto them. Are they going to go to grad school? Are they going to have to pay if they're a partial student? Are they going to have to pay for more school? Are you going to make all of those scholarships full scholarships?
We already have a system in place in college football where if you've graduated, then you don't have to sit out a year before you transfer. So, yeah, you're letting them go into grad school for a year. I mean, that already exists. Tristan, thanks for your take on it. I appreciate it. But, that component of it already exists. If you want to transfer, and that's why we see guys that have eligibility left, but they've already completed their education, they can rock over and go wherever they want to play for their final year of college football. So that's already in place in my mind. So I don't have any problem with it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Should players get another extra year of eligibility? And again, I'm not saying this just for seniors either. I mean, are they just do they do it across the board and allow everybody? Because I've seen a lot of people tweeting about, well, what about the competition moving forward? They give it to everybody at this point, and if they use that extra year, when they're in their extra year, they don't count against the scholarship limit. That, to me, is the simplest solution. Now, we'll take more of your take in just a second, but first, Reese Davis joined Max and Stephen A. coming off of some controversial comments by Kirk Herbstreit, who was on ESPN Radio a few days ago, Freddie and Fitzsimmons talking about, in his mind, the strong possibility of no football this fall. Reese Davis joined Max and Stephen A. to give his insight on what he thinks could be happening this fall.
I'm far more optimistic and more hopeful than, you know, Kirk's quote there at this point. I just think that's a little bit premature at this juncture, while offering the caveat that there is so much unknown out there. And Kirk's right, based on everything I've read in terms of the medical experts, in terms of a vaccine. But I'm hopeful and optimistic with so many people working on this that we're going to have at least some type of treatment, that there will be some type of break over the next several weeks that perhaps will make it far more feasible to have football. So at this point, I'm far more optimistic. Might there be adjustments in the schedule? Might things change a little bit in terms of how the business is conducted? Sure, because so many things have happened that we could not have envisioned 6 to 8 weeks ago. But I'm much, much more optimistic that we will have football in the fall, at least at this point, based on what you can ascertain from the moment.
I completely flow with Reese on this one. Listen, there isn't, I want to emphasize by saying there isn't a single word that Kirk Herbstreit uttered that was wrong. The circumstances that he highlighted and outlined for us, they're very, very real. But what I would say is that, I mean, you're talking about the great Kirk Herbstreit, who's done a phenomenal job for us for decades. And it's not just his knowledge about the game of football, but how affable, how welcoming, how personable he is, and how positive he usually is. I can't believe, I mean, stop the presses right now, Reese. I actually have to look Kirk on national television, you know, figuratively speaking, Kirk Herbstreit in the face and say, could you be a little bit more positive? Pretty pleased with sugar on top. I have to to do that, Reese. I can't believe it. I'm actually more positive than Kirk Herbstreit. Who would have thunk it? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I believe, obviously, the situation is dire. I think that the NFL will find a way to have games. They've got the cachet, monetarily speaking, to do a lot of things that folks outside of the Big Five in college football might be able to do. So as a result of that, you can understand how daunting the task is to imagine that football games are going to be played on a collegiate level. But I believe in this nation. I believe in this world. I believe that somehow, some way, that ultimately a vaccine may be found. I think that folks are working diligently. Hopefully, collectively, at some point, we come together, we find a way to conquer this thing. I just think that right now is not the as much as there is a reason for gloom and doom per se because of our circumstances. We can't just lay down, roll over, and believe that this is going to be, the end has arrived, and this is the way that it is. Hell no, Kirk Herbstreit. I don't want to have that kind of attitude. I want to have a more positive attitude and think that somehow, some way, we will find a way to make sure we have college football.
Stephen A.,
and pro football.
I disagree. Like, I appreciate your optimism and, Reese, also your hopefulness, and I'm with you guys. Who doesn't want to watch football? I want to see the NBA right now. I want to see the NFL, college football. I want to see everything start on time, but that may be magical thinking. The most optimistic report that I've read, even, that seemed credible, was that there's one company who has a different way of developing vaccines that believes they could have something by November and ramp up production to 1 million doses a month. That's the most optimistic thing I've read that seemed credible at all. This is a country of hundreds of millions. So while I appreciate you guys saying, hey, there must be a way and everything, a sober analysis of our situation is, if Kirk's premise is right, that we need a vaccine in order to get back to life as normal, because as you flatten the curve, you also extend it. That's what you're really doing. Then I think he may be right, guys, because it's not about Stephen A. or Reese or Molly, you, any one of us necessarily getting sick if we feel like we're healthy or young enough to be okay. It's that we all know older people, and we have parents and grandparents, and what we're really asking Matt to do to stop contagion is to protect them. So Reese, I'm curious to know, and Stephen A. too, what else based other than on optimism and hopefulness are we saying this?
It's not just that, Max. What you're saying is correct. Everyone understands this, and I offered at the beginning that there are things that are unknown. One thing that is still unknown, and even the medical professionals would tell you, and I'm hesitant to bring this up because I'm not trying to come on here and, you know, purport to be some type of expert on infectious disease. They don't know for sure how it's going to react in the warmer months. They don't know for sure how people are going to react if there is this so-called herd immunity. And it's not, I understand the timetable for the vaccine, but the other issue is the potential timetable for treatments that might well greatly impact how this is dealt with. All I'm saying is that I think we're a little premature.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and what Reese is saying there is really important. Remember, just a few weeks ago, we had no idea that we were going to be sitting where we are right now. Can we acknowledge that the world is changing at such a fast pace during this pandemic and that none of us have lived through this sort of a moment before? So any guessing about what things are going to look like in the fall is just that. It's guessing, and no matter how educated the guest might be based on what we're reading or what information we're being given, it's simply guessing. Because if I'd have told you 3 weeks ago, we'd be right where we are right now. If I'd have come on radio and said that, you would have absolutely screamed at me. You would have called in and you would have said, I lost my mind. So let's keep a little perspective on that. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. The NCAA is voting today on whether or not players should get an extra year of eligibility. How would you vote? JP in Brooklyn, thanks for calling. What's your take on it? How would you vote?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's no longer JP from Brooklyn. It's Congressman JP from Brooklyn. and I'm serious. I'm running for congressman in Brooklyn.
Congrats, man. So, go get it.
Yeah. I'm all for, giving the kids, extra year. This year is a wash for everybody and everything, So give the kids another year eligibility.
I'm all in for a congressman. And next time you call, you just tell us you're the congressman. I mean, when you're a congressman, you get through on the show. That's the way it works. JP, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. And look, there's a lot of split sentiment on it. And it's funny because the people that are coming in on Twitter and supporting it are just giving me the simple, they deserve another year. As Mr. Mom says, they should get another year. Troy says, yes, you need no why to do the right thing. You know, and we see a lot of that. But then the people on the other side of it are giving a lot more information. How should this be handled? What does it mean for incoming freshmen? How do they take care of it? I want your thoughts on a 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you got a vote, what would you vote today as the NCAA is going to be voting on whether or not spring sport athletes can get an extra year of eligibility as a result of the pandemic? We'll get more of your take coming up. But also the NBA. Most underrated duo, Bleacher Report gave their list. First Take did not agree. You'll hear a fired up debate about that. But first, while you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future right now. Use this time. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. There are live online classes. They meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. The most underrated duo in the NBA. First Take was fired up about it. You'll hear it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Couple pieces of important news you need to know that are going on today. The NCAA will be voting on whether or not to give spring sport athletes an extra year of eligibility. It is important to remind everybody, spring sports. Basketball is considered a winter sport, not a spring sport. But spring sport athletes are given the opportunity, depending on this vote, to possibly get another year of eligibility. If you were voting today with the NCAA, how would you vote? That's your take. That's what we want. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How would you vote and why? Another big piece of news out there you need to know. The Tokyo Olympics have a start date. It is July 23rd, 2021. So we knew that they were going to be postponed. We now know July 23rd, 2021 will be the opening ceremony for the Tokyo Olympics, which are still, I believe, going to be called Tokyo 2020. Either way, the Tokyo Olympics will be starting off July 23rd, 2021. Don't forget, save water this spring and get a more beautiful and healthy lawn with Pennington Smart Seed. It's a premium drought-resistant grass seed that saves up to 30% more water than ordinary seed. Woo! Get out there and save you some. All right. First Take had some debate today because Bleacher Report's been going into the ranking mode, and we love this because it gives us something to argue about. Their most recent ranking ranked the top 30 duos in the NBA, and they were talking about which of those duos were the most underrated. Bleacher Report had their thought on it regarding Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, but Max and Stephen A. didn't necessarily agree with those rankings.
I'm going to sit up there and say Butler and Adebayo. And the reason I say that is because you almost never talk about them as a pair. You talk about Jimmy Butler individually, but you never talk about the combination of the two. When you think about Jimmy Butler, don't just think about the 20-6 that he's averaging in his first year with Miami. Think about the turnaround that's happened with the franchise since he's arrived. When the season ended, they were at least postponed. They were at 41-24. They were a top four seed in the Eastern Conference. They've been considerably better than they were a year ago, and they rave about the leadership that Jimmy Butler brings to the table, not just his skill set. And in a guy like Adebayo, this is a dude out of Kentucky, a Newark, New Jersey native. He's 6'9", runs like a greyhound, okay. He's averaging 16-10-5, lethal in the open court, can score around the basket, and can do some things, and both of them never hesitate to defend. Again, the operative word here is underrated. It's not that, you know what, you're just looking at them and you're saying they're the obviously the elite duo, the creme de la creme. I think that's LeBron and AD. But when you talk about the word underrated, I'm talking about a pair, a duo that's never discussed. Everybody else is discussed. Everybody else is brought up. You might label them. You might pair them. You might categorize them number 1 to 5 or whatever. But you never talk about Jimmy Butler and Adebayo as a pair, as a duo. And I think it's time that you do, because guess what? They were pretty damn dynamic themselves this season.
Well, I mean, because you have Dragic, you have Duncan Robinson, you have a lot of guys on that team. I think it's tough to say this is the duo. You can pick them out. I love the fact that you're giving them shine. They deserve it. But the answer is Luka and Porzingis. And before I get to that, I got to say what is wrong about the original list. It is, the answer is certainly not the freak with Middleton or anyone else. Middleton's having a great year. I love Middleton. But the point in saying a pair is that both members of the pair are elite. You know, Middleton is an all-star in a good season, caliber guard, guardish kind of player, like perimeter player, who does a lot of things you want that guy to do. I love Middleton, but he's not an upper echelon kind of MVP potentially caliber player, which is why the real answer is obviously and without doubt LeBron and AD, or if they were healthy, Kawhi and Paul George, something like that. The reason Luka and Porzingis is the most underrated is because people don't fully realize how much Porzingis, you know, Robin in that Batman and Robin pair, is capable of being Batman. You know, Luka, everyone knows, he's practically averaging a triple-double. He's in the MVP conversation at his young age. He's amazing. Great. You know, the Mavericks, by the way, are a playoff contender right now. They're 7th seed, but they're within spitting distance of being top four. They're three games, something like that, 3.5 games behind the Jazz for 4th. You know, so they're right there. Porzingis, guys, he's coming off an ACL tear. You're not supposed to do this your first year back. He's almost averaging 20 and 10 with 2 blocks a game. Porzingis is a defensive monster, and his offense is just coming back. I don't think people understand, the more time removed from that surgery, the more games under his belt, the closer Porzingis will be to not just being a sidekick all-star, but to being an MVP caliber value player himself. Whether or not he has the personality for it, Stephen A., whether or not he's the alpha in that relationship, Porzingis represents enormous value. To pair him with Luka, people are sleeping on, I think, what kind of combination those two are.
Well, here's the reason I disagree with you, because the operative word, again, is underrated. And I think everybody recognizes how big time Luka Doncic is. And in the case of Porzingis, all we've been waiting for is for him to get healthy. The dude is 7'3 with a J. Obviously, and actually a decent handle for his size. He can put the ball in the hole. So as far as we're concerned, he hasn't even touched his potential in terms of what he's capable of based on what we saw him do when he was a member of the New York Knicks. So nobody's questioning his game, and nobody was questioning what he could bring to the table if he were healthy. And everybody that's looked at the Dallas Mavericks recognized Luka with Kristaps Porzingis. From the time the trade happened, we wondered aloud what the Dallas Mavericks were going to be turned into, courtesy of those two together, particularly after Rick Carlisle elected last season to, in around February, to just hand Luka Doncic the damn basketball and make him your permanent point guard. There's been no question about that, and that's why I don't believe the word underrated is apropos when it comes to those two. I don't disagree with anything that you're saying, Max. What I'm saying is those things have been said about these two from the moment Porzingis landed in Dallas. And as a result of that, I think that takes away the word underrated. Nobody's been talking about Butler and Adebayo.
First, take your take on ESPN News. Look, maybe nobody's been talking about Butler and Adebayo. I can't even say it. But I will say this. Everybody's been talking about the Heat, and we have been talking about Bam and Butler. We're going to say it that way since I can't speak today. We have been talking about that duo in general because the Heat have been given a lot of love. If we're going to talk about who's underrated and not getting enough love as a duo, isn't that Jokic and Murray? I mean, we never pay attention to the Nuggets. What exactly do the Denver Nuggets have to do to get some level of attention? Last time I checked, Jokic and Murray, if we're going to talk underrated duos, I mean, they are the reason that the Nuggets are sitting with the third best record in the West, and they get absolutely no love for it. So if I'm going to say underrated, I'm going to go there. We're asking you guys, the NCAA is voting today on whether or not players in spring sports will get an extra year of eligibility because of the pandemic. I want your take on it. 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a better life. Stephen, Connecticut, what's your take if you were voting with the NCAA?
He is a former D1 athlete, and I started out with give everyone everything back. And then after thinking about it, I've totally changed. And I think if you take emotion out of it, you realize that giving everything back really doesn't make too much sense. And it's terrible. And but when you look at it, they lost out on playing a season or 25 games. What they didn't lose out on was their education, the academic aid, the financial aid. And the reality is that it's not just spring sports. If you're the NCAA, do you want to set the precedent of giving people back entire seasons and giving them back their athletic aid? Think about it from a football standpoint and giving back 80 to 90 scholarships. The numbers are just astronomical, and I think it could lead to financial ruin of athletic departments. You could see certain sports disappear. You know, baseball, college baseball, Division I baseball is going to be a mess either way because of scholarship limitations and how that's done and roster limits. And I don't know if the right thing to do is to give everyone everything back. And I know it hurts and I know it's terrible. And in some ways, unfortunately, that's life. But
and thanks. Thanks for the take on it. I really appreciate what you're saying there. And you have made me rethink something. I will admit your point is very, very valid on setting precedent that could play forward. Because if you believe, as Kirk Herbstreit does, that there's the chance that we don't have college football this fall, what are we going to do then? So that's a really interesting question. That's a question I'm going to take to an expert. The NCAA is going to vote on whether players will get an extra year of eligibility. So we're going to speak someone close to the situation next. We'll get his thoughts on it. Thanks. That's next on First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys are hanging out on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. The NCAA is going to be voting today on whether spring sport athletes should get an extra year of eligibility as a result of cancellations from the corona pandemic. We're asking you how you would vote. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz, and I'll go to what Don on Twitter says. Yeah, are you building the extra rooms in the athletic dorms needed for this, paying the extra class tutors, assisting with the extra support needed for hosting an extra year of student-athletes across multiple sports for men and women? It's not so easy or simple. I don't think it should be easy or simple. It doesn't have to be easy or simple. I'm just asking if there's a solution. So we're going to head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line now, where we're joined by USA Today national columnist Dan Wolken. Dan, you've written a lot about this. You're close to this. What's the biggest complication in your mind for the NCAA in making this happen?
Well, it's really just money. And I think the schools in Division I, you've got this set of the 65 power conference schools who have huge budgets. And they're going to take a hit because of all this. There's no doubt about it. But I think for most of them, they would be able to absorb an extra year for some of these spring sport athletes. It's when you talk about the smaller schools, the schools that don't play football in FBS, so they don't get that college football playoff revenue, schools with much smaller budgets who are significantly impacted by the NCAA not being able to distribute its full men's basketball tournament revenue share that they normally do. Those schools are going to have a tough time paying for it, hundreds of thousands of dollars in scholarship and support, and there's just no more money available for them. Those schools are not going to be able to get subsidies from the universities. In fact, when I talk to athletic directors around the country, they're worried that their university presidents are going to start to pull subsidies because the universities themselves are going to take a huge hit in all this. So it really will just come down to money.
USA Today national columnist Dan Wolken joining us. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Had a caller earlier point out that there's a difficulty in setting precedent right now by allowing an extra year, when knowing that we've just heard somebody like Kirk Herbstreit say that there's a concern about college football being able to be played this fall. Does the NCAA, in your mind, have to consider precedent when they do this?
I'm not sure that this is the time to worry about precedent. I think the circumstances are so unusual. You deal with what's in front of you and you try to make the best decision you can. And then whatever might come down the line, deal with that based on whatever those circumstances are. I think the college football thing is super interesting. And obviously it's very uncertain what the next several months are going to look like. But the football revenue is so important to all of these schools that I am of the opinion that they will do whatever they need to do to make sure that football is played, even if that includes pushing the season to January, February, March, whatever they have to do to get that revenue. Now, there's obviously complications with all those scenarios. No one's saying this is going to be easy, but they can't lose that revenue.
We're talking to USA Today national columnist Dan Wolken. Dan, it should be noted, spring sports does not include basketball, and so everybody's right. Still got March Madness on their minds, but that's a winter sport. Are winter sports keeping an eye on this to see if there's any opportunity for them as well?
Well, I know that there's probably a lot of athletes out there who, you know, were going to play in the NCAA tournament, who were in the city of their conference tournament getting ready to take the court when all of this hit, and I know that they're devastated. And you know, it's unfortunate that some of these teams that thought they had a great chance to get to a Final Four or win a national championship are just not going to get that opportunity. But I think, unfortunately for them, there's not really a lot of support around the country for giving them another year. And I think the reasons for that are many. One, they already played almost all of their season. And in fact, a lot of the basketball players who played in some of the earlier conference tournaments, if you're in the West Coast Conference, for instance, you played your full season. So I don't think that's going to happen because the fallout from that, the complication from that is difficult. And also, you know, in basketball and a lot of these other sports, the coaches have already recruited incoming freshmen for next year. They've built their teams around that. And it sort of just upsets the whole conveyor belt of talent moving through the program if some of these guys stick around, you know, juniors who might have been in line for starting roles, they get pushed back. Freshmen who might have thought they were going to come in and play would have to sit on the bench. And, you know, it creates this whole other cascade of issues that I just don't think they want to deal with, given the fact that most of those players played almost all of the games.
You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wolken. Dan's doing a great job of breaking this down as it's happening. Dan, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on with us.
No problem, Jace.
You think about some of the things that Dan just said there that are important. One, this is spring sport, not winter sport. So, and even as far as looking forward, you know, the NCAA can't necessarily be worried about it. It again becomes a conversation about the biggest change that we've seen as a society when we try and figure out some of these issues is that all we can do is look at the issue directly in front of us and try and handle that one particular issue. Cameron in Indiana, I want your take. If you were voting, how would you vote today?
Yeah, man, so I get it. Wanting to get them another year in Elsville, I get it. I got a sister who was in North Carolina preparing for a track meet. This whole thing went down. University called them, told them they had to come back. But when it comes down to it, the thing you got to look at is percentage of the college athletes who are actually going to go pro at home. And if my sister gets a $60,000 year job when she graduates and can come back for another year of eligibility, she'd be nuts to go back just to run another year and turn down that job.
Well, and there's no doubt. Thanks for your take on it, Cameron. I appreciate it. You don't have to take the extra year if you're offered it, though. I mean, that's one thing that we have to stress here. The NCAA is looking at offering an extra year of eligibility. Now, does that mean everybody has to take it? No. I mean, they're not going to sort of be able to, they won't be able to pin kids in to take that if they choose not to. It's really more for people that want to be there. And then I just have to stress again that you're talking about spring sports. So you're not talking about basketball. You're not talking about football. You're not talking about some of the larger rosters with some of the larger sort of implications moving forward to professional life too. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. None of this is easy. It's all day by day. We're going to keep taking your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you had a vote today, would you give these spring athletes an extra year of eligibility? Plus, QB continued. First Take continued with Carson Wentz. Should he make more than Dak? You'll hear what the panel had to say next.